And welcome to another edition of the E-Factor, brought to you by the Clinton County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Shan Sheridan, the Director of the Chamber and Economic Development for Clinton County, and so happy to be with you on another great weekend now in May. It's hard to believe that we're here in the month of May and Mom's Day. Well, that's this weekend as well, so make sure that you take care of Mom and give her a hug, a high five, or whatever affectionate way that you can share your love to Mom. Make sure you do that. We would appreciate that. You know, she's been that encourager in your life. She's been that empowerment in your life, so don't forget about that. She may be the E-factor in your life. Well, speaking of the E-factor, you know what we do? We talk about encouragement. We talk about empowerment. We talk about entrepreneurialism. We talk about employment, education, entertainment. We've been talking a lot lately in the Clinton County area about eating as well, and that brings me to our next guest, and I'm so excited to have this young lady on the show today, Jessica Smith from This Old Farm out in Colfax, Indiana. And Jessica, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Shan, for the opportunity. I love all of what you're about.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate you because we love everything that you guys are doing. And when we're going to invite folks to come out to Colfax, and we're going to give you all that information a little bit later. But Jessica, you know, when we talk about entrepreneurialism, you're like the poster child for that, because you guys have come out into this small community of southwestern part of Clinton County here in Indiana, north central Indiana. And you took a business that was a processing plant, and you have just taken that and have built upon that. But much more than processing, you're a little bit of everything. You're a grocery store. You are organic foods. You do all kinds of things. So tell me about what brought you here and why.
Shan, you say epitome of entrepreneurial. I say the epitome of hard things, right? So anything that is a challenge, I tend to take on. So starting with a small farm, getting into the farming industry as a first-generation farmer, not having a background in farming is hard in itself, and getting that product to a customer base that wants it is the next step. And so that's what the expanded space is all about, is getting that product to somebody that wants it, good food, right here in Clinton County. So our farm started in Montgomery County, so just next door, and had challenges with getting that product processed, getting that product to the cities, and getting people to come out. Most of our customer base at that time was sick in some way. They were looking for food that would bring health back to them.
Okay, so they were dealing with maybe some health issues, and so they were looking for good nutritional opportunities and options.
That's right.
And they found you.
That's right. And they found us in the middle of nowhere at that time, and kind of opened my eyes to people looking for something that was different than what they could find on traditional grocery stores. So happy to be able to offer that now to an expanded group of people, and to have fun while doing it. So all about experiences now when we shop. We want to go out and see things and see where our food comes from. And so that's what we're doing here
right.
in Colfax.
And if you hear the knocking around, we're live. We're right here in the middle of where it all happens at This Old Farm. So there's all kind of activity going on behind us, and food moving and all that kind of thing. Great place to come out and visit. And we'll give you more information about coming out and visiting This Old Farm here in just a little bit. Jessica, this was a meat processing plant at one time, R&M mm-hmm. meat processing. You still do that, of course, but you've mm-hmm. just expanded that. When you took over the operations here, did you ever dream that it would become what you are? Was that part of the vision all along?
Well, you know, I didn't get into the processing business to get into the processing business, though that is what was here. It was really about making the process. Nobody thinks about that processing step in the middle to being able to access food in the end. Nobody wants yeah. Bessie the cow to show up on the doorstep. So,
right.
Yes, processing is part of it, and we still do it. And really, why I got in the processing business is to serve a customer base, which is a farming customer base. Mm. So farmers that have their own marketplace and want to provide good food have a hard time getting product processed right. in a manner that works for a customer base. And people today want to know where their food is coming from. They want to know on the label who raised that. Traceability for the big box industry is down to a box of meat. We're all about the traceability back to the farm field and where that product is coming from, who's raised it, and how they've raised it. And so whether that farmer has their own customer base and they just need us to service process for them, or whether they want to market product through us to a customer base that wants to know who they are, we're here to set that face and describe that process for our customers.
Well, you do so much more than just meat, of course. When we think of processing, we think of, you know, the old butchering and the processing of all of that. But you guys are vegetables, mm-hmm. dairy. You've got a little bit of everything out here.
Yeah. So I don't know of another store in Indiana yeah. that is all local product. So when you come out here, you know that you are supporting local farmers and artisans. Everything here is raised locally or produced locally. We like to go out and find the oddities or the interesting things. I don't know, oddities might not be the best word. How about interesting?
Yeah, there we go.
Interesting artisan items that may not be found elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So we like to find those new entrepreneurs themselves that are starting a new business and looking to get their product out to market. And it's just some interesting, unique things that we offer.
You mentioned market, and we were talking off the air a little bit about marketing and mm-hmm. being able to market your product and your entrepreneurial vision here at this old farm. You know, marketing is tough. It's difficult. What is the mm-hmm. one of the biggest challenges that you have in regards of getting the word out and letting people know? I know location is a challenge, but what are some other things that are challenging that you have had to overcome or are continuing to overcome?
Well, telling the story happens little by little, and we charge all of our customers. Really, word of the mouth is the best thing that can happen for any small farmer trying to make their way in the community. Marketing dollars are expensive, and how effective we don't know. You know, if you're not Procter & Gamble or mentioning any of the large companies, not calling anyone out in particular that has a multi-million dollar marketing
right.
budget. How do you get the word out? Well, you do it little by little by our customers help us over time, sharing our story. People come out and see us, and we charge them with, share our story for us. And send other people our way.
Well, one of the most challenges that I find with entrepreneurs is that you're so busy doing what you do that mm-hmm. you don't always are able to tell the story. You don't have the time, the energy, the funding sometimes, because everything's going back into the product. Everything's going back, and that's mm-hmm. evident here when you come out and you see a beautiful facility. You've got just a fantastic showroom with a variety of different displays set up, very professionally done. I mean, this is not just a little, behind the garage shed that you can go buy some meat. This is such a professionally well done store, and it takes a lot of time and a lot of energy, and sometimes that drains you, I would imagine, and that is a difficult thing for entrepreneurs. And as you're sitting here and you're looking now where you've been and where you're headed, where are you in the plan? I mean, where are you? I know we talk about the 10-year vision, mm-hmm. we talk about beyond that, and mm-hmm. Where do you think things are, and where are you headed?
Well, Shan, my vision is to each year offer something new to keep people wanting to come back and grow that relationship with us. When a customer walks in the front door, I like knowing our customer base and being able to shake their hand and knowing what they're going to want in their shopping basket that day. And that means a whole lot to me. But expanding that education and vision to future people interested in agriculture. So sometimes that's young people that we want to empower mm-hmm. to get into agriculture and let them see that there is a vision in farming, encourage our young people back into the farming industry, and then continue to provide interest to individuals to come out here for years to come. So we're expanding our agri-education little by little out here and doing events. We have a big event coming up yep. May 19th, our yep. first annual benefit farm dinner, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. That's coming up May 19th. You said that's the first time that you've ever done that. And again, that's uncharted water, so probably some nerves and things, but mm-hmm. It is a ticketed event, so people are going to be out, I think, $60, and they come out mm-hmm. for the meal, but there's going to be so much more, right?
That's right. Some of those things that we don't do anymore with our kids, when's the last time somebody played Red Rover, Red Rover? When's the last time somebody did tug of war? Some of those fun family events that we just don't have the opportunity to do anymore. This Old Farm is all about experiencing some of the things that our grandparents did that keep us real, keep us down to earth, connect us with the generations that are gone by. And that day is all about connecting us with the generations gone by.
The old Sunday afternoon picnic, you know, where we've lost touch with that, where, you know, I remember after church, it was always dinner on the grounds after church, and not every Sunday, but at least once a month, we were having dinner after church where everybody brought in their food, and probably that's where we probably got a lot of salmonella poisoning and everything, because we didn't know, well, we didn't know, you know, back then, you didn't know that you should cover things, or maybe keep things cool or whatever, and so the potato salad may be sitting out all day or whatever the case may be, but we survived, and not only survived, but we thrived, and it was something that we enjoyed. I remember playing, tug of war, and I remember us having sack races and all those things that we take for granted today, and that our kids, because we're so engaged now with tablets and iPhones and Androids and all kinds of things, that we sometimes lose that opportunity. So you're actually bringing not only food and a great meal, but you're bringing an experience in this event that's coming up on May 19th.
Yes, it's going to be all about family fun with something for the adults to enjoy as well. So
awesome.
Live music by Hunter Smith. Hunter Smith was a previous Colts player, and he's a small farmer himself. So we enjoy him as a customer, and he'll be doing our live music that day. Also going to have our chef, Eric Russo, preparing our meal for us, and that'll be a four-course meal. Black Hawk Winery out of Sheridan, another local business, will be carrying our spirits that day. Local wine, local beer, so we can all have fun together.
Yeah, so and people sometimes, and I want to clarify local, because sometimes they go, well, that's not Clinton County, that's not Frank. But local, especially when it comes to agribusiness, is more than just one county. It's more than two or three counties. It's really a region. It really can become even your state. And I think that that is such the that's one of the things that you're trying to bring to the table, if you will, that, look, folks, agribusiness is what's bringing us together. The food is what's bringing us together. It's what's behind the food. It's the lifestyle and how the food is raised and how it's processed and how it gets to the table. Those are the things that are so important to you and to your company. And I think that is what that really has been the driving force of the vision that has made you so successful. And when we talk to that and we start looking at that opportunity, we're seeing a generational shift, I think, Jessica and I, when it, you know, back in the day, the baby boomer and the greatest generation, all those maybe thought that way. I think we kind of lost touch a little maybe with Gen X, but this millennial generation seems to be kind of turning a corner, looking at those relationships and looking at where my food, like you said, where my food comes from, how do I know this is organic, and all of the things that go along with that. Of course, the no GMO, which I get a little mixed emotions about non-GMO. I think everything has been modified at some point, but regardless, it's that mindset. So when you are out talking to folks and you're sharing your story, what is the engagement level with other people and other and this new generation? What is that demographic? What is that dynamic with young people?
Young people care.
Yeah.
I think increasingly they're educated. They want to know, and they want to be engaged in their community. And I think that's because they've lost that sense. The generation before them, it's strange to think maybe our young generation, though they are very tech driven, they realize that there's a lost connection on some level, even if that's not the forethought. But they're engaged and wanting to know more and being connected.
Yeah.
And that's all what we're about, just like you described so perfectly, Shan, about those connections that food does. How many people today sit down around a dinner table and enjoy a company and enjoy family? And I think that's important. And can it happen every day? No, I have teenagers, so I understand how busy we are running. Right. But when it does happen, our connections are made around food, and we want that good food to be part of that dinner table.
You know, I'm going to go back. I keep going back to the back in the old days or whatever, mm-hmm. Jessica. But I remember growing up that it was nothing, absolutely no problem for someone to just drop in on you on a Sunday afternoon or even a Saturday night with a completely unexpected. And it was never a problem. You know, my mom, my dad, you said, hey, you know, we got some ham in there. We've got something, you know, and it would be snacks. Maybe everybody's already had dinner or whatever, but it was that engagement and visiting. But it seems like today we have to have an appointment. We have to have it scheduled. I've got to look at my calendar. We've lost that spontaneity of being able to just, you know, why don't we call up Jessica and see, you know, why don't we call, you know, some friends and let's see if we can get together. But we don't dare do that anymore because mm-hmm. Schedules have controlled mm-hmm. our life. I think you have the opportunity to kind of help people recognize that we should be in charge of our schedules and not the other way around. Yeah. Don't you think that food and this whole idea that you're trying to bring to our community and pausing, slowing down, eat right, eat better, eat good, that all flows into that really an attitude?
It does. And Shan, when you're talking about that, I think of a full freezer. Those that live in the cities, they, you know, they buy 2 to 3 pounds at a time, yeah. and they're worried about just that week's meal. So if company comes over, that would be a big stress.
Yeah.
But this is an opportunity here, and we always did this rurally. It was part of our lifestyle to have a full freezer, so we could feed those that stopped in and wanted to enjoy dinner with us. And we stand there. We love to fill freezers.
Oh yeah. You got plenty of stuff to fill it with. I mean, goodness, you've got the variety of things, and we're going to talk about some of the products you offer and how to get out here to this old farm here in just a moment. I just met a young man named Connor that came up. He's one of your employees, I believe.
He's actually my oldest son.
Your oldest son. Okay, my goodness. I didn't realize. My gosh, the last time I saw Connor was a little guy. So, okay, he's a student at Purdue?
I just graduated from Purdue and came back to the family business. And that is everybody's dream. That's what agriculture is all about.
Yep.
Is really generation upon generation upon generation.
So absolutely.
I have 5 kids, and I only hope to make what we have here grow to encompass all of them over time.
Well, I will tell you, I was very impressed with Connor. He's very inquisitive, asking the questions, and he seemed to be asking the right questions. I appreciate that. And I think that that's really kind of indicative of his generation, is that they are asking questions. They are more inquisitive in the sense of where things come from, and I think that's why this is such a neat place here, is that, you know, and getting back to your product, as I went down, I noticed that everything is labeled, everything has a date, everything has names, everything has numbers, everything. This is something that it's really important to the people that are buying this product.
Yeah, they want to pick up that picture, that product, and it says raised by and gives the farmer's name. Yeah. And I can point to where that farmer's bringing that product from. Some of them are right across the street bringing in their product over to us so that we can process that and then make it available to customers.
When you say process, so if someone says, wow, you know, I make a great blueberry pie with all the blueberries that I raise right at my house. Mm-hmm. How do you go through that process? How does somebody bring their product here to you? And what is the certifications or, I guess, the criteria mm-hmm. for you to be able to sell that product?
Well, Shan, this goes back to your food safety comment there about salmonella poisoning. You know, it does matter. Yeah. People want a food safe. They want a safe food product today. And so we are a USDA inspected processing facility.
Which is daily.
Yeah. That means that every day. And I used to think, oh, we don't want the regulatory power over our shoulder. However, a second set of eyes is a good thing.
Yeah.
So every day we have a second set of eyes to make sure that we're producing a product as safe as possible. And we take pride in that. Knowing that we have a very clean product. I think to a customer base, the flip side of that is we don't need to add anything. We don't need to add the preservatives.
Right.
We really can produce a safe product without all the additives that you see on the back of products today.
Right.
And I'm proud of that. We don't have to have those additives. And so we're all about just processing just like it is. Now, you know, we love making summer sausages and jerkies and things that have ingredients, but they don't have to be preservatives and they don't have to be things we're afraid of.
Well, I think the key here is another P. It's that when you say preservatives, it's about preserving. And there's different ways of preserving. You don't always have to have a preservative or an ingredient or a chemical that does that preserving. Sometimes the best way of preserving things is that frozen, that being that freeze lock type of preservation. And you do a lot of that here, where you know you can put some, like you said, you put something in the freezer that is very natural, very organic ingredient that with no ingredients. That's just the product. But it can last for a good long time because you're freeze packing it. Is that safe to say?
That's safe to say. And I talk a lot about this because a lot of people like, you know, they talk about fresh meat. Yeah. And of course, we want fresh in our diet. If you look at the paper that's underneath the fresh meat you might buy somewhere, it's full of all the juices. So we do a lot of
that. May have ink in there somewhere.
may have ink or a little bit of dye.
Yeah,
that's
dye.
Right.
Yeah,
or,
dye, yeah.
Or definitely. Oh, yeah. I just saw a packet that was injected with fat. It was actually a ribeye that was a low quality ribeye injected with fat for marbling.
Wow.
And it said on there, tenderized, injected.
Wow.
I thought, oh, this is a new process out there. We just buy good quality meat, so we don't have to do that here.
And people would look at that and say, oh, wow, they're injecting, they're making it, they're bringing the marble. But that's man-made marble. That's not raised marble where the lean is actually there. And the marble, or the fat is actually there, part of the lean. And you make a great point. I mean, because we don't even look at that sometimes. We just pick it up, we kind of look at it, oh, that looks pretty good, but we don't think about what it's saying.
Right, and it does say it, but it's in a small print, we just don't think about it. So, you know, Alaskan fish, we know is blast frozen so that it preserves the freshness, and that's what we do here. For customers that want to stock their freezer, going back to what we were saying about always having blast frozen meat is as fresh as you can get it, because it's directly from cutting blast frozen, and then when the customer is ready to thaw it, they thaw it.
Okay, products. Real quick as we go through, I'm down there because I love going to the home show every year. I see Overwise Dairy. I always say, oh my goodness, I would love to have them deliver milk like the old Fraser Dairy it used to do in Frankfurt, and they do that down there. But you actually have the product right downstairs right here at this old farm.
Yep, we have Overwise milk, you know, anything that you can find locally. So jams, salsas.
Wix pies.
Oh, you're going to challenge me on there. Oh, we have ice. I was so fond to find gelato or ice cream. Yep. I looked for that for a long time. This is a 15-year-long journey for myself to see how much I can find regionally, like we talk. And really, you can eat regionally, but it takes a process. So we've taken that for you, done that for you, and really you can shop here for anything that you would want to put on your dinner table that night. Obviously, our meats are our specialties, but we do have produce and some frozen produce.
You probably, because you have a chef, you probably have some good advice for people that's looking to cook that dinner or whatever the case may be.
That's right. There's nobody that can't, you know, we always offer cooking instructions verbally, not just on the package.
Sure.
But, you know, what am I going to do with this for dinner? Just because it's frozen doesn't mean that can't be ready for dinner, and we do a lot of discussion on that, because I take home and put into one of those Instapots or crock pots, and it you know,
technology has changed a lot to help that.
And that's right.
You know, so we don't have to necessarily throw it in the microwave even.
No,
you can put it in a pot and let it slow cook, but the slow cooking process can be expedited because of the new technology we have out there.
That's right, and that adds to that flavor. I think once you eat good meat, you don't go back.
I would agree. Yeah. Now, what about those folks that say, no meat for me?
Oh, well, I was a vegetarian for a number of years, so those are my favorite conversations to have.
Yeah.
And really, this whole experience is about coming to peace with good food.
Yeah.
And part of that is meat. And a lot of people talk about humane handling or making sure that livestock has a purpose.
Yes.
We were given
absolutely.
We were given dominion to use what has been given to us, and livestock is one of those. They wouldn't be here if we weren't eating.
That's
and
right.
So it took me a while to come to terms with that myself as a vegetarian.
Yeah.
But
My wife is one of those. She's one of those. I call her part-time vegetarians. She gets behind a cattle truck or a hog truck, and she. No meat after that for probably 2 or 3 weeks, or she goes to the fair and it's no meat for about a month or two. But she always kind of comes back. But she enjoys her vegetables. I enjoy vegetables. So you have a lot of that out here. A lot of vegetables.
That's right.
A lot of produce.
We do. I think those that are vegetarians often are doing so out of a sense of wanting to do better and wanting to do good, for whether that be a choice for. Maybe their health, and that's a lot of what we stand for, is making sure that we're also giving information on what's healthy, what's good for us,
and a plant-based diet. Doctors, the medical profession has said that that is a good diet. There's no doubt, but it doesn't have to be the only diet. But the other stuff is what we're putting in our body, the preservatives, all those things that we've talked about, the processed foods that are that just added with all this other junk. That's really what's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's the struggle.
That's right. We have a lot of paleo customers. That are looking to avoid grains, gluten-free items. That's a big part of what we do, because we do serve a customer base that cares about what they're putting into their body.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk a little bit about how to get out here. Some people say, you go to the end of the earth and then you turn left or turn right. No, and I'm being facetious, but Colfax is kind of right there in the southwestern part corner of Clinton County and the northeastern or northwestern part of Boone County. And you are just... past Colfax, a little further past Colfax. So tell us how to get out here to this old farm and give us your contact information so folks can get a hold of you.
Yeah, well, I think technology here serves us again, Chan.
Yep. GPS,
you type in this old farm and it comes up on your Google map on your phone, and that leads you right to us. If you have a flip phone, which I think I was the last person ever to get a cell phone, so I guess we still have some flip phones out there, then get on our website at thisoldfarm.com, and that'll lead you to us as well.
So thisoldfarm.com, that's pretty simple.
Pretty simple.
Pretty basic.
ThisOldFarm.com tells our story, tells about that event that we were talking about as far as getting tickets for that. You can order online and we ship to you if it's a challenge to get out here.
That was good to know, that so that you can actually get product online. So folks that are living in other parts of the country that may know about you, or maybe a family member that wants to tell someone about another family member, they can go right online and get a product. Mother's Day is coming up. This would be a great opportunity to buy something from mom up here or ship it somewhere from this old farm.
That's right, especially if mom's moved away. We love when people do that. They want to give a little taste of Indiana.
Right.
And they come out to pack a bag or have us pack and ship that product to somebody that's moved away.
Jessica, your story is, again, just works so perfectly with what we try to do here at the E-Factor, and that is talk about encouraging other people through entrepreneurialism and education. You mentioned education a little bit. Your mindset is more bent probably towards education, that you would love to see more folks educated and knowledgeable about eating healthy and eating good.
That's right, Chan. And sometimes we do things that we don't even think about, but education starts back on the farm about how to raise product, good food, sustainably, something that'll last into the future. And we're all about educating both new producers as well as educating customers that want to know. And that doesn't have to happen overnight. This is a process.
Right.
So customers come in and they ask one question at a time. We get to give little bits of information. We'll also love to educate kids and do tours. We do a lot of 4-H programming. Schools should call us. We do this fun organ petting zoo that we take to all the 4-H councils in the area. And we've been all across the state doing that, which is, educating the youth. About where food comes from. How many kids can you ask the question to? They ask where the milk comes from, and they say the store.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's a constant answer. And so trying to debunk that and get people to realize that soil is what feeds us.
Absolutely.
And we need to take care of our environment so that it continues to feed us into the next generation.
Absolutely. Well, Jessica, it has been a pleasure to talk with you today. Thank you so much for being on the E-Factor. I know a lot of folks are going to be interested in getting a hold of you. thisoldfarm.com. That's the best way to just to go online, thisoldfarm.com. All the contact information there, folks. Jessica's email, her phone number, how to get out here. And believe me, you do want to come out here. It's a great store, a lot of products, a lot of opportunity. Just a nice little sachet just to get out of the house and drive over and pick up some bacon or whatever the case may be. Thanks for being with us today, Jessica.
Oh, I appreciate it, Shan, and I hope to see some of you on May 19th.
Absolutely. May 19th. Don't forget about that. May 19th. Go to the website, get more information. Don't forget, you may be the hope. You may be the encouragement to someone else's life. You may be the empowerment in someone else's life today and beyond. Thanks for listening to the E-Factor. We'll see you next time.